to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, December 17th, 2017, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
The most vivid character in the Advent season is, of course, John the Baptist, that prophet of doom and gloom who stands by the banks of the Jordan River with his crazy outfit and his crazy diet, yelling at people to repent and be baptized. John the Baptist is remarkable to me for something else, something that is very much evident in John's version of the story, John's gospel that we heard read. And that is that John the Baptist, you know, you think about him, he had all these people coming to him, crowds. At one account, the whole of Judea was coming to listen to him. It must have been tempting at times for him to say to himself, maybe I'm the guy. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's all about me. Isn't that tempting? All that attention, people saying, aren't you the prophet? There were representatives from the Jewish leaders, the priests and the Levites, who said, okay, tell us. We want to find out exactly who you are. Why are you baptizing and who are you? And John is so amazing because he is so clear about who he is and about who he is not. He knows in his bones what his mission is, to prepare the way of the Lord, to point to Jesus, the Messiah, not to become the Messiah or to pretend to be the Messiah, but to point away. If you look at Renaissance paintings of John, he's almost always going like this. He's pointing away from himself towards Jesus. I find that so inspiring because I think John gives us a glimpse of the challenge that we all face to know who we are and who we are not, to discover our unique identity and calling as part of God's kingdom. A few weeks ago, we had a minor miracle here at St. Philip's. All of the youth group were together in one place for an event. I don't know if you know, but our young people are super busy. They do amazing things. They're involved in the community, in school, in activities. So to get them all together was miraculous. And Jane and Kathy had organized an activity which was all about answering this question or beginning to explore, who am I? How do I know it? We had a whole bunch of questions and the kids shared, and I can't go into the details. I don't want to divulge what was shared at that table, but it was amazing, wasn't it? Amazing to hear the depths. Kids talked about their families of origin, their ancestry. They talked about their gifts and their skills and how they did certain things. It was just amazing to see that. We did some work on the Myers-Briggs personality type indicator, getting a sense of how we are uniquely and differently made in God's image. Well, recently, I had the opportunity to learn a little bit more about who I am. Some of you have asked, some of you know a little bit of the story, but back in March, I got a strange phone call in the office from a woman who I thought at first might be, I don't know what I thought, but anyway, as we talked, she eventually asked this question. She said, or offered this idea, I might be, she said, your mother. I might be your mother. I was adopted. I had never known anything about my birth family, but some years ago, as a Christmas present, I'd been given a thing for Ancestry.com, you know, where you send off your saliva and they enter it into their database. I wanted to find out a little more about my genetic makeup. I knew I was a European mutt, but I didn't really know much more than that. And all I really got from Ancestry.com was confirmation that, yes, indeed, you are a European mutt. So in March, she calls, and it turns out that her nieces, who have done a lot of genealogical work, had put their DNA into Ancestry.com, and, you know, they found out all the stuff they already knew, but there was this strange person who kept popping up as a very close family member, someone they had never heard of, someone they had no connection to. They started asking their parents and aunts and uncles, and my birth mother then told the story of how I had been born and that she had given me up for adoption and kept that secret for all of these years, 52 years, kept that secret close to her heart, always wondering, always worrying what happened to that child that she sent out into the world. Well, this past November, after some phone calls and emails, I was able to visit Luray, Virginia, where she and her daughter lived, the one daughter. The other daughter came down from Pennsylvania, and I got to meet, for the first time, my mother and two half-sisters, and had a wonderful time. Now, it can go all kinds of ways. There was some anxiety, I'm sure, on their part, as well as my part. How is this going to go? But they turn out to be absolutely lovely people. And it turns out that they have been, that family, my family, has been in that valley, the Shenandoah Valley, beautiful part of Virginia. They've been there since 1740. A German Mennonite came down from Pennsylvania and began farming, and the family has just stayed. So in one swell foop, I have not only new relatives, but I have, in a way, a new identity, wrestling with this idea of what does it mean to be rooted in a certain place? What does it mean to have extended family that goes way back before the Revolutionary War in that part of Virginia? What does it mean to be Southern? Oh my goodness, all these questions pop up. Now, this is not all of my identity. My identity was shaped and formed by the family that raised me, who were wonderful parents, by my own unique gifts and talents and interests and experiences. But it's one more piece of the puzzle that helps me to appreciate more deeply who I am and where I come from, who I am and who I'm not. And I believe this discernment is something that we all have to do in our lives. We begin it in childhood as we begin to separate from our parents. You know, that's why adolescence can be tough, by the way, both for kids and for parents, because kids are trying to identify who they are over and against their parents. When you're young children, you just absorb the identity of your family. But as you get to adolescence, you're sort of saying, well, yes, and who am I uniquely? And sometimes that creates some creative friction or tension in some families. But it's a wonderful process. That process begins then, but it does not end. We are always seeking to know more deeply who we are as created in the image of God and who we are not. One of the pitfalls we have is this kind of roller coaster of self-confidence. And one of my friends once said, you know, the secret of there's lots of secrets to happiness, but there's really one secret to unhappiness, and that is comparison. You know, I am better than that person because of this, or I'm worse than that person because of this. And we go through this kind of horrible roller coaster of trying to compare ourselves to other people. They're smarter, I'm smarter, they're richer, I'm rich. You know, whatever it is, we compare, and in that comparison, we shortchange both ourselves and the other because we're missing a really critical component. And that's where John the Baptist is so helpful. John the Baptist did not say, because Jesus is coming, I am worthless. He did say, I'm not worthy to untie his sandal. But that was not a cause for shame or for grief. It was a cause for rejoicing. The one who is coming is more powerful than I. He will bring about the kingdom of God. when we can appreciate so deeply our own gifts and our own identities and the gifts and identities of others, we can achieve what I believe is the essence of humility. Not a humility which is groveling or beating ourselves up, but a humility that deeply appreciates that each one of us is created uniquely in the image of God, to give praise and glory to God and to point, like John the Baptist, to Jesus. To worship Jesus, to welcome Jesus, to follow Jesus, to welcome into our lives this wonderful gift that we are part of one beautiful, diverse community. So I believe we have an opportunity, because I don't think the world really gets this. I think the world is all about comparisons and about rankings and about pecking orders and about climbing a ladder. I think we have the opportunity to renew this different identity when we come to church and participate in this community of St. Philip's. I think we have the opportunity to encourage one another, to see the work of the Holy Spirit in each other, to see it happening, to recognize it, and to celebrate it. To celebrate it in ourselves and to give thanks for the ways that God has touched our lives, has equipped us to serve, has given us the energy, and that we are all necessary and needed for this to work. If we lose one person's gifts, we are diminished. If we put down someone's gifts, we are diminished. But if we can recognize and affirm and celebrate what Jesus, what God, what the Holy Spirit is doing in one another, what a beautiful, powerful, joyful, and abundant community we can become. So let's take a page from John the Baptist this Advent. Let's give thanks for the uniqueness of each of us and remember that God calls all of us not to wear a camel hair shirt and to eat locusts and wild honey, though that may be the next fad diet, who knows, but to be rooted in a clearer, deeper sense of who we are and who we are not, and to give thanks for what God is doing in us and each other.